Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program. We encourage you to check out our website at www.churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources there that will help you in your study of God's Word. We have been looking at the book of Revelation. Last week we concluded our study of Revelation chapter 12, and this morning, 11, and this morning we want to look at Revelation chapter 12. We're going to begin this morning by reading the first few verses of Revelation chapter 12. Now, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then, being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 diadems on his head. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven, and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. John sees an ominous sign which explains the conflict on the earth from the vantage point of heaven. This vision introduces the woman, her man-child, Michael, the great red dragon, and we will later see the beast and the false prophet. The woman is majestically arrayed with light, signifying the glory and purity emanating from her. But throughout the scripture, light has always represented righteousness. Read 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. This woman is spared, appears in heavenly splendor with the moon as her footstool and the sun as her robe, and the 12 stars form her crown, which from the Greek word is a victory crown. Initially, the woman represented the faithful remnant of Israel. After bearing the man-child, she came to represent all of God's people, for her children are those that keep the testimony of God that we will read a little bit later. And so we see that in verse number 3, that there was a great fiery dragon. Again, it's very easy to understand who this is. This is Satan and all the adversaries that he has of evil. And the fact that he has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems shows that he has authority, but it is limited. He has a kingdom, but it is one of evil. We also see in verse number 4 that this dragon is about to devour the child as it was born. Again, this demonstrates the conflict that has ever been existent between God and Satan. Satan is always seeking to destroy anything good and anything of God. He's contrary to everything that God stands for and opposes every form of righteousness that can be found attributed to God. It is not strange here that he would try to destroy the child even before the child is born. We know the child in verse number 5 is representing the Lord because it's talking about his rule. He's going to rule all nations. This reminds us of the promise in Genesis chapter 12, but also 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12 through 14, of the spiritual throne of David. And in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 6, where the government would be on his shoulders. It's not odd that we see the child caught up to God on his throne, because the writer is not emphasizing the journey of the child, but what the child is going to represent and what the child is going to do for mankind. And so the child is caught up into heaven because that's where he resides now, and he is ruling and reigning on the throne of David. Now, it says in verse 6 that the woman fled into the wilderness where she was placed, a place prepared by God that she should feed her there for 1,260 days. Now, the woman fleeing into the wilderness just demonstrates for a period of time that the church is going to be under attack. God's people, the remnant, the faithful remnant, are going to be under attack, but at the same time, she's going to be protected by God. There's a place where she can go where even though that she is going through difficulty, God is going to protect her, and this is going to go on for a period of time. In verse 7 it says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. but they did not prevail, nor was their place found for them in heaven any longer. Now, we know Michael is the archangel that we read about in Jude, in his account, and also he is the one that we read about in Daniel. And this heavenly war, this imagery of this heavenly war, shows how the dragon tried to defeat the child in the spiritual realm, and in the spiritual realm, in the realm that we really don't have access to, but one that is ongoing, he is unable to do so. He did not prevail, according to verse number 8, and there was no place found for them in heaven any longer. And so there's no place for him any longer because he failed to defeat him in the spiritual realm. But this isn't the first time that he tried to defeat the child. He tried to defeat the child when this child grew into man and was crucified on earth. And when he overcame death, he again defeated him again. And so the fact that he's defeated in both the physical realm and the spiritual realm is not odd, because he is not greater than God. He has power, but it is limited. He has a control over the world. He's a prince of the earth, according to the Corinthian letter, but yet he cannot overcome God. And verse 9 says, so the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out before him. Now notice, we now have identified the dragon. He's the devil. He's Satan. He's the deceiver. He's the adversary. He's the one that's seeking to destroy anything good that God creates. He's against everything that is righteous. He's against God. He's against anything that is called godly, or anything that is called righteousness. And those with him, his messengers, were cast out with him. Then in verse 10 it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. And the accuser of our brethren who accused him before our God day and night has been cast down. Now notice, salvation and strength of the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. Now, those who want to claim that the kingdom has not yet come, then what is this kingdom that's being referred to in verse 10? And part of this kingdom is a salvation that is offered and in Christ. And it says the power of his Christ has come. The accuser of the brethren who accused him night and day has been cast down. He can no longer accuse the brethren. You see, sin had no remedy for a time. But now sin has a remedy in the divine blood and sacrifice of Christ. And so now he no longer has dominion or bondage over men, because now men have a divine remedy, and therefore that has limited his ability to cast forth the bondage to Satan. Now verse 11 is key. He says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the testimony, and did not love their lives to death. Now, overcoming means to persevere. How did those who were being troubled by the dragon, by the deceiver, by Satan, by the devil, by the accuser of brethren, how were they going to defeat him? How were they going to defeat this great adversary? Well, verse 11 tells us three ways. Number one, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, the blood that was shed for the remission of sin, that washed us in his blood, according to Revelation 1 and verse 5. It is that blood that we have redemption, Ephesians 1 and verse 7, and gives us justification according to Romans 5 and verse number 9. And the word of their testimony, the eyewitness accounts, the accounts that we have of those who were saved by the blood of Christ, by the testimony of those who were eyewitnesses, like the apostles and like the other disciples who were on earth in the first century and were witnesses of the resurrected Christ. We have the word of their testimony. We have eyewitness account. But third, they did not love their lives to the death. Those who were willing to die, those who were willing to give their life in service to God, were willing to die in order to preserve the kingdom of God. In order to preserve, in order to not compromise their faith, they were willing to put their faith on the line and die, even suffer martyr's death, in order that they not compromise their faith and to receive salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 11 is key to anyone who seeks to defeat the dragon. You have to overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only remedy for sin. You have to believe the testimony that we have revealed through the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 2, 9-13. And then you have to love him more than you do your own life. Read Matthew 22, 38-40. That's the key then, is still the key today. And then verse 12 says, therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and to the sea. For the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, but he knows that he has a short time. He's been defeated in heaven, and now he'll turn his attention to earth. Who's he going to turn his attention to? That which is most precious to God. What would be most precious to God? That would be his children. Where would he find their children? He would find them in the church. And so that's where he's attacking them, and that's where Rome is attacking God's people. And so that is how he's going to try to overcome God. And he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly in the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time for the presence of the serpent. So, again, the church is going to go under attack. She's going to be persecuted. He's going to try to defeat her. But the church, or the woman, is going to be protected and nourished by God to remain faithful and not to compromise their faith. And so verse 15 says, so the serpent spewed out water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, he went to the earth, but he again was stifled from having victory. Why? Because even though he's enraged to make war with the offspring of the woman, and that would be the remnant, the faithful remnant of the church, who would be the offspring of the woman, but how do they overcome him? By keeping the commandments of God and having the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, the onslaught is going to continue. He's going to persecute the church. He's going to make war with her. He is going to try to seek to destroy the offspring of the woman, and that's Christians. He's going to try to do that, and is doing that at the time of this letter, and that is going to continue. But in the end, she is going to be victorious. The faithful remnant, the offspring, is going to overcome the adversary, the devil, the dragon, the false prophet, and the beast. Why? Because they keep the commandments of God and they believe the testimony of the Lord. That's how they're going to overcome Rome. That's how Rome is eventually going to be defeated, and that's how the church is going to be exalted. And she is going to be victorious because God's going to give her the tools in order to defeat the dragon. Ladies and gentlemen, those same tools are available to us today. And any foe that would oppose God and oppose his offspring, the church, God gives us the ability through his word and through the sacrifice of his son to defeat the adversary. He cannot win. Tune in again next week.